Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. Yes, I am going to change that. I think I've said that every week, but I will do it. My name is Susan Jane and I'm your host for the podcast. And the first thing I will do today is ask you to subscribe, like, or share the podcast so we can get that out and about. But today I've got a really exciting guest on. And I know I say that all the time, but you know, when I first meet the guests, because we only meet sometimes just before we start the show. So it's really exciting to start to talk to them and get an understanding of what they do. I go and check them out, like you have to stalk them and everything like you usually do, just so I've got the right people for you. But no, not really. I do check them out. And with Shana today, it's all about interior design. Now, you're going to say, well, what has that got to do with intuition? But I find that really, really important. Our environment, our surroundings that we live in is really, really conducive to our energy and how we are dealing with the world today. So I think this is really, really important, and it's something that you want to listen to and get a good understanding of. Not quite the same as the feng shui, because this is a little bit different. This is more Shana's expertise. So we're going to go right into it. So welcome on board, Shana.
Yes. Hi, Susan. I'm glad to be here.
I'm really excited because I did stalk you. I did check out your website and it's gorgeous. Like the pictures and that you've got on it. So yeah. You obviously are an interior designer, but what I want to do before we go any further is get a little bit of an understanding of your background. Mm-hmm. Because we're not just going to be talking about interior design. We're talking about interior design that's conducive with our intuition, how that works with our energies and things. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about how you got to where you are today.
Oh, gosh.
That's a long one, but
a long story. How long do we have? So I'm American. So growing up in America is, you know, where I'm from is a difficult thing. I grew up in a very abusive household and my imagination became really the only safe space for me. And I think is really what has led to my creativity as an interior designer, because it's really all I had to rely on. You know, the world around me was unsafe. So I had to create one that was safe for myself, like cocoon myself within this micro environment that became my bedroom. And, you know, using the walls of my bedroom and the furniture to really create the stage from which I wanted to tell the story of my life. And really needing to recognize that I needed my immediate environment to be a reflection of the story I wanted my life to tell. Like I needed it to remind me, because the world around me was very unsafe. And then fast forward to going to college, I have my BS in interior design, but I started to recognize once I graduated from college and I worked in the commercial interior design world for a decade before founding my own business. And then 3 years ago, taking my business full time, I started to recognize that there was much more power to what I was doing than just, I knew it was more powerful than just making an environment beautiful, but I didn't recognize that other people saw that until I started really paying attention to the transformation it made in my clients' lives and how they were able to then lean into the story they wanted their life to tell, because it created this beautiful stage for that. And their home became a vision board for their life. And what I came to understand and what I've come to understand intuitively is that our home environment, we spend about 2/3 of our life inside of our home. And our home environment is in many ways a reflection of how we see ourselves. And because of that, it's really critical that we understand that whether our house is like the picture of perfection or it is a mess or it is somewhere in between, because for most people it's somewhere in between, there are ways to tell the stories that we're telling ourselves, to like identify the stories we're telling ourselves with looking at our interior environment and really, really like taking inventory and deciding how intentional we're being with our interior environment. And, you know, are we forcing ourselves to adapt to it rather than adapting it to ourselves, right? Because it's meant to serve us, not the other way around. And I think many times we create our homes abiding by this like unsaid or perhaps spoken set of rules that actually don't apply to us, and we don't need to apply to them because it's our home, not someone else's. And so leaning into, you know, leaning into our story and allowing that to be reflected in our environment is critical.
I had to just jump in. Yeah. You were saying some amazing stuff, and I'm writing it down. So please don't think I'm being rude when I'm not looking at you. the things you were saying, vision board. Oh my goodness, just to be looking around your place and looking at that as a vision board. Now, I don't know if everyone knows what a vision board is, but a vision board is something that you can set up and you put pictures of things that you want to do, things that you see, things that you vision. So you said vision board, and I can just imagine at your house being your vision board.
Yeah.
The other one thing that you said, I'm going to go into that a little bit more, but the other thing you said, it needs to serve us.
Yeah.
That resonates with me so much, because too often we're in this house or in our space and we have to deal with what it is instead of changing it to suit our benefit.
Yeah. We find ourselves walking around that coffee table that we constantly catch our leg on, or bumping into the dining room table, you know, and our hip constantly having a bruise on it, or forming a walking pattern in our own home that's really circumventing all this like stuff that's in our way. And it tells us psychologically like that there are barriers that we must constantly overcome, like that we can't take up that space, when in fact we can take up that space. We just have to give ourselves permission.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And I'm not going to jump into your story because you're still talking about your story. But I just loved the terminology you use, because it really, really resonates with what we're looking at. And one of the things I do is I look around in my office and I know by the end of the week, I have to go through and clean up my office. I have to tidy it all up. Ready for the next week. And I know that's all part of going through our energy and trying to understand it. But one of the big things that we look at with this sort of thing, and we see it on those hoarding shows and stuff like that, how much we hold on to and how much we, like you say, walk around because we're not really sure what to do with it or how to deal with it. So I'm going to go back to the start again. So I love how you were in your room. The world around you is pretty crappy, including outside your bedroom door from there onwards. And I know you've had a lot of trauma in your life as a young child, or as a young person, I should say. But you created this world of your own in your own room. What were some of the things that you did to just make things easier for you?
I think rearranging my furniture became this thing I could control, right? So when something really crappy would happen in my family life, I recognized that I now had this very strong association with what I could see around me reflecting or reminding me of this terrible moment. And so not only did I rearrange the furniture in my room, but oftentimes I would like start to kind of a little bit move the furniture in the rest of the house, or I would like clean up, or I would like go do laundry, or like I needed to be able to like clean something. It was this act of cleansing out, you know, what no longer belonged in my life and resetting that stage. And so my bedroom became the place where I could move all the furniture and I could have complete control over it. I could, you know, move all the furniture. I could vacuum under all the furniture. I could make sure the air was clean. I could dust everything. I could clean out all of my clothes and donate or give away what, you know, was no longer serving me. There became this continual cleansing and really getting intentional. And I think what now I see is that when we're really intentional, when we're clear on the story we want our life to tell, we start to recognize how important intentionality is in moving that story forward, in that story actually becoming reality. And we start to get clear on what belongs as a part of that story and what does not, right? And so we stop accumulating, or we get better at not accumulating, because there's no seeking of perfectionism here, right? So it's just about getting better at noticing what actually belongs in our life. That could be people, that could be things, that could be things that take up our time, that could be the way we enjoy our life, our self-care routine. We get intentional down a deeper level and a deeper level and a deeper level in our life until the end of our life, right? It's just it's a constant learning and seeking practice. And that for me started with, you know, creating my bedroom, because when we think about how powerful our bedroom is, it's the first image we see when we open our eyes in the morning. And it is the last image we see when we close our eyes at night. And that is a really important environment. It sets the stage for our rest. It's where a predominant amount of our self-care happens. It is the center stage of our lives. And so it's really important that we care for that space, because it signals to us, to ourselves, that we matter, that we get to take up space. And not only do we get to take up space, but we get to take it up beautifully and intentionally. And it is there to help facilitate a beautiful life for ourselves.
Yes. Oh, I like that. And yes, the bedroom is that way inclined. So that's why you started there. Yeah. But I love that how you've talked about the cleaning side of it. Now, I do remember very, very distinctly when I had 3 children in 3 years. So life was just about...
I love you.
Life was just about full of cleaning, I can assure you, at that stage. And I can remember thinking very clearly, like, I just don't want to do this anymore. And I don't mean in a way that it was negative, as in I wanted to do myself, you know, like commit suicide. And not in that sort of terminology.
Even if you did, that's okay, right?
Like, yeah, but it wasn't that deep. Yeah. It was more about, I had a guffle, just had enough. I don't want to play that game anymore. I want to do something different. And I felt like I was cleaning. I changed my mindset on cleaning.
Yeah.
And what you're talking about then, about having that control, because I didn't have control over my life.
Yeah.
When you're talking about having that control over your bedroom, or, you know, being able to do that, that's how I changed my mindset. I stopped looking at cleaning in that context as a job, and looked at it as more of a cleansing of me and my family and my energy there, their energy and everything that was going in that house. So it was almost like I was making the light shine in the house. So I really get that understanding of that cleaning, and it was only a matter of me changing my mindset. And then, like you did, because to you, cleaning your room wasn't a chore. It was your growth. It was part of you growing and developing and getting to where you needed to be. Yeah. And that's sort of where I changed my mindset. So I really like that. And people, and it's not all about having an ultra clean house.
It's not about that at all, because that puts so much pressure, especially on women. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's not about that. And sometimes I tell people, like, people always apologize when I come to their houses. They're like, my house is a mess. I'm like, your house is lived in, right? And sometimes, especially for women, especially if you have kids, especially young kids, sometimes you could just pick, okay, today, like, I can take only 5 minutes for myself, and, you know, there's too much to do, right? Because patriarchy. But like, I understand. And so maybe the only thing that you could do is like clean off the countertop in your bathroom, so that when you walk into your bathroom, you see a clean countertop and you can just take a breath and say, you know what, I got to take that 5 minutes to take care of myself, and I matter, right? And maybe that's all you have the time to do, or maybe you don't have time to do even that. But if that's the case, maybe you're in an unhealthy relationship, but that's a whole nother conversation. But I think if we can learn to say, you know what, partner, husband, wife, whoever you are, I need 5 minutes, right? And or 10 minutes or an hour, and you can just take a shower and deep condition your hair and clean off your countertop in your bathroom. If that's all you can do, then that's all you can do, and that's enough, right? Like, it's not about doing more. I say this all the time, it's not about doing more or being more. It's about being more intentional with what we already do, right? Like, thinking through, and maybe, again, if you've got young kids, you don't have the energy to think through, so this may not apply to you at all. But if you do have the time, being more intentional with what we already do and recognizing how it's contributing to the story we want our life to tell. And whatever's not contributing to the story we want our life to tell, maybe that needs to be let go or released so that we can make room to take care of ourselves better.
Yes, and I agree. And we start to look at it and go, because you're talking about cleaning the bathroom top, and you're talking about cleaning the bathroom top for your self-care, for your self-love.
Me.
And people would sort of go, I'm not going to clean the bathroom, you know, right? But that's not where I want to go. Right. And that was my mindset. But when you change it and you're talking about your mindset and you're going, I'm going to do this because I love me, and I want to walk into this room and I want to see it tidy.
Yes. I want to exhale. Like, I want to create. The way that I work with people is like, I want us to all be able to create more moments in our life where we can exhale, because we're all holding our breath. At least here in America, where I feel like most of the women walking around, and perhaps men too, but I can only speak from my experience as a woman, we're walking around holding our breath. We're tight and protecting ourselves and all these things. And I want to see if there's moments in people's lives, you know, creating moments in our lives where we can exhale and we can be like, okay, I can take care of me in this moment. And if we walk into constantly messy spaces, we're not exhaling. We're like constantly stressed about the fact that it's not clean.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. When I started doing my meditation practice, my practice was to find a spot, and it was in the bedroom too, because that was, as you say, a safe space. So I found a spot beside the wall in the bedroom. I put my cushion on the floor because I needed my back up straight. And then under the bed, I put a candle, not a lit one, obviously, but a candle and whatever else I needed, because it was on the far side of the bed so no one could see it. And that became my meditation space. And the reason why I'm telling you this is because I feel that it's the same, like when you're talking about cleaning the bathroom or cleaning your bedroom. That became my meditation space. So every time I went in there to sit in that spot, and it was just a little, you know, just a little the size of a toilet.
Yeah.
When I sat there in my spot, straight away I had that, this is my space.
This is my spot.
Yeah. And even though I shared the bedroom with my husband and the relationship wasn't good, that was still my spot. And I could just pop everything under the bed so nobody could see it, and then I could pull it back out.
And scent has I love that you said you pulled out a candle even though you didn't light it, because scent is our strongest connection to memory and emotion. It is actually arguably one of our most important senses. Even more important than sight or sound, or, you know, because without our sense of smell, we actually can't taste. So if we lose our sense of smell, we lose two senses. And because it's our strongest connection to memory and emotion, when we smell certain scents, they can trigger specific emotional responses. So and I say this to people, like, think about your grandma's house or your favorite aunt or your best friend's house. When I say that, there's a specific scent memory that is pulled up, and a specific emotional response happens, right?
Yes.
And when we want to trigger specific emotional responses within ourselves, we can use scent to do that. Mm-hmm. And so if we burn a specific candle or a specific type of scent, or we maybe spritz the air, or we put it on our like dab a smell on our wrists, or our, you know, on our neck or throat before we meditate, or before when we get up in the morning, we can elicit specific emotional responses and or let ourselves know like, okay, I'm safe here. Right? I'm safe in this moment. And it's a really important part of our daily routine is to either scent, like pay attention to the scent of our home, our different zones in our home, like our bedroom and our bathroom versus our living room, or our meditation room, or even our just our meditation space within a room. It's really critical. It can change everything for us. It can be, you know, maybe we don't have the time to clean our house, but we do have the time maybe to light a candle, right? And to be like, okay, this orange or like tangerine and or lavender or whatever smell, okay, I got this. You know what I mean? Like we can just trigger that specific emotion and we can train our scent ourselves to associate a specific scent with a specific moment, right? So like I always burn a lavender candle when I want to get into a specific like relaxed work mode. Or I'll burn Palo Santo when I'm meditating, or you know, specific things. And so when I smell those things, it immediately triggers something. So it's really something that's like not a cheat, but it can be kind of a cheat in our lives.
No, that's a trick, not a cheat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I love that, Shana. And what I want to do is, well, when we look at it, say we're focusing on women that have got a few kids, Okay, so we're looking at them. Say they're in primary, high school, you know, that sort of area, high school, yeah, that sort of, oh, I don't know what you call it.
High school, yeah.
It is high school, yep. Okay, so they're in that going into the puberty, then we can't sort of talk to them, get them off their phones. So we're sort of looking at that area. Now, I'm just sort of putting myself into that scenario, and because this was when I did a lot of my changes, I couldn't control what was going on so much. And it's not about control. It's about having control over your own life, not about control over everyone else. So once I got that understanding, then I could actually start to do something. So I want to just focus on, say, one room. And I love the idea of the bedroom to start with. So if we want to help these ladies find their space, we're looking at the bedroom. Now, a lot of the times they're going to be sharing the bedroom with their partner, husband, whoever. So how can they, what are their first steps? We've talked about scent, but what are some of their first steps that they can do to start to create a space that is loving and nurturing for them? And then we can talk about how we can permeate that through the rest of the house. So we want to start with the bedroom. What are some of these little direct things that they can do?
Now
I've got you thinking.
Yeah, I think you know, a big part of it is boundaries. You know, I think sometimes boundaries get lost, especially for women in relationships. And being able to like say to your partner or your husband, your wife, to say like, hey, I need to carve out some space for me here. And for whatever the reason, right? Whether it's, let's just say for meditation, and I want to be able to put in my meditation mat here in this corner or somewhere in this room. Can we work together to carve out some space for me? And sometimes just voicing it that way, or, you know, I would hope that your partner would be like, yeah, okay, you know, and work together to figure out how to do that, and to keep that space sacred, right? So nothing crosses that moment. Maybe, and my meditation mat is probably like 30 by 30, right? It's not even 3 feet. So to be able to say, okay, I have my meditation cushion sat on top of my meditation mat, and that nothing touches it but me.
Yeah.
And just establishing that boundary, like, hey, nothing can touch this. I don't want people walking over it. I don't want clothes thrown on top of it. It really needs to be honored and be sacred. And that boundary has to be first held by us, right? We can't cross that boundary. We have to make sure that we're allowing ourselves to take up that space and allocate that space and know that that it's important that we give ourselves permission to take up that space and to hold that space, that it's not selfish, that it's necessary. And when we can begin to hold that boundary, then it can start to permeate because we start to see how valuable that boundary is. But I think many times the hardest part is establishing the boundary and then understanding how to hold that boundary for ourselves.
Yep.
So then that we can ask other people to hold that boundary as well. That's a really good
part. Yeah. And you were talking about that as a meditation space, but even a space in your bathroom, like if you've got a shared ensuite or something and you go, okay, this is my space here.
Yes.
I want to acknowledge that. I want to keep that tidy. You know, you have control over that space.
Just one space. Yeah. Just one little thing. Right. And I think that's the place that intention starts, is with just one little thing, and then it starts to spread. And intention is a series of very small little choices stacked on top of each other. That's what builds a beautiful intentional life. It's not these big decisions and having to clean the whole house at one time and keep it that way. It's not that. It's not that, because that's perfectionism and that's overwhelming and that's toxic.
Yeah.
What we want to do is just say, what is possible? What one little thing is possible for me? And do that. And when that becomes easy, then I can add something else. But if it's still hard to do that one thing, then that's the work we're meant to be doing. Okay, me holding this countertop as neat and tidy for myself, if that's still a lot for me, okay, then that's what I'm working through, right? I don't need to add a whole bunch of other things, just one thing at a time.
Yes, and we found that too in the kitchen. We've got one kitchen countertop that I don't like anything on because that's sort of like a workbench for me, and nothing goes on it. And because I've made that an unintentional rule, but it is a rule, we've got another countertop that you can put things on. And everyone walks through and they always put it on the one they're allowed to, and they know the other one they're not allowed to touch.
Yes. And it's that. Just reinforcing it in small ways. This is for me. And it's also recognizing that everybody in a family needs to feel reflected in their own home, right? It doesn't matter how young they are, right? Once they're like old enough to walk and talk, they'll recognize their own reflection in their own home, being able to take up space. Even a one-year-old can recognize that there are things that are theirs, right? And so giving everyone in the family, like once we give ourselves permission to take up space that way, we'll start to give others in our family that same permission. Like, how do you want to take up space in your own bedroom or your own bathroom? And we can start to do it together, and it starts to build these beautiful boundaries for everyone to start caring for themselves in more intentional ways. Because so many times I think conflict arises in families when boundaries are not allowed or not cultivated. Boundaries are really beautiful things. They set intention and their communication of that intention, right? Yeah. And so when we can begin to talk about it and we can begin to communicate that more effectively and more consistently, now everybody feels seen and heard in a much more intentional way. And it really starts to change the dynamic with ourselves and with our family.
Yes, absolutely. And I know that when we had someone staying here and their room was always a mess and they left everything everywhere and it just sort of really like, and I just sort of got to the stage where I would take their stuff and put it outside their door, and it was like, no, that's you're crossing the boundaries here. I really get that. And it's not about you can't come into my space. It's about having that respect for somebody else's space.
Yeah. It's honoring space, right? It's honoring, especially mutually shared space, right? Yes. And it's not just honoring it with things, but with our personhood and with the energy we're bringing into that room when we enter it. And it's also the noise that we're bringing with us. Like, I think it's really critical that when we enter a space, we take a moment to take a breath and feel out the energy of the room, especially when there's other people already in it, right? So that we're not coming in and dominating with our energy, that we're coming in. And that doesn't mean like you don't have a great piece of news and you're bursting into the room and you're excited. Sure, that there's moments for that too. But there's lots more moments when we need to just enter, take a breath as we enter a room and be really centered and really focused and make sure that we're matching energy, with the people who are in it, but we have to recognize that energy first, right? And so our things, I mean, literally we are all made of energy. Everything is made of energy, every object, everything, which is why when someone's stuff starts to accumulate in common space, it starts to feel like energetically they're not respecting that everyone is using that space, right? Because the energy, their energy is like piling up in a room and it starts to be dominating, right? And so recognizing that, no, your stuff belongs with you. If you're not using it, it belongs where it belongs, right? There's a spot that it belongs and that's not here. That's just beautiful boundaries. It's not like you can't be here.
Yeah. Well, that's, I love how you've explained that, because there was times there when am I being OCD, you know, because there's this stuff sort of piling up in my kitchen area or in my, you know, in these areas that was starting to really get to me. And I'm thinking, am I just being OCD? Am I just being a bit crazy because I don't like the mess? Yeah. But when you put it down as, yes, it's still energy, that's what you're feeling, that's what you're experiencing, that starts to make sense. And I start to feel, because I feel like their energy is overtaking the energy of the house or the energy of us. So that makes a lot of sense. So in being able to, when I used to tell my kids to go and clean up, tidy up, put your stuff away, it wasn't about necessarily having a real clean house. It was having clean energy, having good energy.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so we need a couple of tips now, because we've probably got about another 10 minutes. Okay. So we need a couple of tips. And this is where we want to really bring in your interior design. Why you would put things in certain ways or why you would do that. And I love that you're starting to bring in the physical elements that we have, our senses, because it isn't just all vision. It is, there's so much more there. So what's a few things that we can look at to start to create better energy in our home?
For me, what I love to do, and this is what I do in client, like in client spaces when I'm planning out floor plans, is I look and what are the travel routes that people are most naturally going to take through this space? How can they most easily move through this space? Where can I place furniture where they can best use the space, but they're also able to move through the space so that they're not getting stuck, people aren't getting stuck, things aren't getting stuck? Because if we can move through in and out of a space easily, we're more likely to take the things we brought in that space with us back out with us, right?
And that's a good tip, yeah.
Yeah, so think about your home and think about, if there was no furniture, how would you walk through your room? How would you walk through each room? How would you walk from one room to the next? And are there adjustments that you can make moving the dining room table? Or perhaps you could sell the dining room table you have now and get a secondhand one or swap with someone. You know, like there's ways to do things that aren't going to cost a ton of money. I'm not suggesting that you just like throw out your furniture and spend tons of money on new. There's lots of places, you know, at least here in the US, that you can, you know, get secondhand furniture and you might be able to sand it down and paint it or something, right? So you, if maybe perhaps a piece of furniture is oversized, can you find something that is going to be within your budget that's going to fit better in the room and still accommodate what you need it to do? Perhaps you could get a smaller table that could expand when you need more seating. Or you could move your sofa to a different wall and move your TV or whatever to a different wall so that when people walk through, you know, they're not walking into the back of the sofa, or, you know, just these little small tweaks, you know. And one person asked me, you know, is there like any rules when it comes to where you put things in your home? No. If this room that you have allocated as a dining room never gets used, but it would get used if it was a yoga studio or a meditation space, then give away the table and make it a meditation room. Because it's your home and there are no rules that you don't make.
That I really like. That is terrific. Because there's so many people that say, oh, we have to have this, we have to have that. No, we don't. No. We had a spare bedroom. That became my healing room, my healing center. You know, and I could do the all the different work in there. So no, there is no rules. I like that. That's really cool.
You could turn your bedroom into a lounge, you know, put a sofa and a comfortable table or something, and just have it be a quiet reading room or something. Like, there's any number of things that can be done.
Yeah, absolutely. So the main thing is we're looking at our sort of the flow of the house and where you're walking and how things are going, and trying to keep some of the stuff away so you can get that flow. But I love the idea of that the quicker the flow or the easier the flow, they're more likely to put away gear and put away stuff. And that, yeah, really does make sense. And again, having those spaces. I know my daughter's creating a play area. So her daughter's got an area that's still in the lounge, still, you know, accessible to everyone, but it's her space, which means that she can do what she likes there and it doesn't have to get scattered all over the place. And it's her space, so she can do what she likes in that space.
That's so good. I love that.
Yeah, so which I thought was really cool, because hubby's got a space, you know, he's got his computer and everything else, he can do his home office. So, yeah, she's got her space. And it's not over the top, it's just they've only got a tiny house, but it's enough for her to feel, she goes, come on, Grandma, come into my spot, and we go to her spot. Yeah.
That's beautiful, I love that. And most parents, I think, you know, like of my generation, we weren't allowed to take up space in the home we grew up in, right? It was our parents and they ruled with an iron fist, right? At least my parents did. But I think now this, you know, my generation and younger who are having kids, it's more like recognizing that we didn't get to take up space and we didn't get to learn how to function in a family and have our own say and have our own voice. And so we've recognized the power of giving, recognizing that children are human beings, right? They're not something for us to control. They're something for us to help foster and find their own voice authentically in this world. And so I love that she found a way to give her child the opportunity to create their own space and know what that feels like and have fun with that and practice, right? Like, what does it look like for me to create this space for myself?
Yes. And for her to be able to change it around and I mean, it's only a tiny space, but it's still hers. Yeah. Again, it reminds me of my meditation space. It was still mine. It was, you know, no one else needed to use it. Yeah. If they wanted to, I didn't mind if they asked, but it was still my space. And like you say, the boundary is you had to ask.
Yeah.
You know, it's just being respectful of somebody else's space.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. Okay, so it's keeping those pathways sort of flowing and free and open. We touched on it before and I'd love to touch on it again because you touched on scent, how important that is, and we don't have to have it going right through the whole house. We can have it in different areas that resonate with us. So that's really cool. We've got the pathways going. The other thing you talked about is the sound as well. Like, you know, having that. I know I don't like a lot of loud music, and yet when I've had a glass of wine or on a party, the loud music is fine. You know. And so that's another thing that we need to be mindful of, especially if you were living in a environment that was very noisy anyway. How do you cope with that?
There's lots of machines or devices that create white noise or brown noise, depending on neurotypical people, I think, typically respond better to white noise. But neurodivergent people, meaning people with ADHD or ADD or autism, respond really well to both white and brown noise. And so if we can...
Sean, can I just ask what brown noise is? I've never heard of brown noise.
It's a different tone. It's a different tone.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, great question. The difference is just a different tone. And there are some machines that you can kind of alter. They're like internal wind machines and you can alter it and find the different tone that appeals to you in that moment. But that can be a way to help buffer. And I think when we put on that like low white noise or brown noise, I think people automatically kind of recognize or can, right? We can kind of train ourselves to recognize, oh, okay, the white noise is on. Like, I'm going to be a little quieter because this person needs a little bit of like vocal privacy or noise privacy, right? And creating those kind of cues in different spaces in our home can also be really helpful, that like hey, during this time, this is a quiet hour, you know, in this house as much as possible. Or, being able to say, like, being able to come home and say, hey, I actually just need like 20 minutes, and being able to turn on that white noise machine and just like let the noise of the day kind of fade away. Or perhaps you can put some headphones in, some noise canceling headphones, and just listen to a really beautiful meditative song.
Yeah.
Lots of ways we can guard our energy and protect our energy while still observing other people's need for whatever they need, right? Like noise canceling headphones are brilliant for that.
Yeah. That's funny because you say that one of the things that I did notice, like with my partner, he works away. He works, not works away, but he goes to work and comes home. Yeah. He has that opportunity between work and home because of the driving to, yes. I call that adjustment period, you know. So he's got that period of time there. I work from home. So there's no adjustment period between me in this office and me out in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, apart from the hallway.
Yeah.
So how important that is to have something like that, like you say, that changeover, that adjustment between the two, even putting on the headphones or something to that.
Or like going for a walk, even a 10-minute walk. If you were to just go for a walk around the block when you're done working, that way you can leave the house and take that 10-minute walk and adjust, and then walk back in and you're like, okay, now I can slip into whatever next mode, right? Like cooking dinner or whatever. So you have that moment to adjust for yourself, that car ride home.
Yes, yes. And the other aspect, if it's for when I used to do my meditation, when I was doing the life coaching course back in the 90s, one of the things that I did do is before the kids came home from school, they were on the buses at this particular stage, I always gave myself, that was my meditation space and the right timing. So I adjusted from the farm and working and everything else. I'd have my shower, I'd have my meditation, and basically the kids would be home. Then we'd start the evening process. So getting that sort of thing happening, that sort of a routine happening, is also really, really cool.
Yeah.
And that will help them. But I love the idea of having that space. And I think if everyone can focus on one area, even one area a month, if that's what it is, one area a year, if that's what it works out as. Whatever it is, whatever level you're at, there's no right or wrong. It's just how it is. But again, you know, if you've got the kids there and you're sort of going, they leave their backpack or their port at the doorway instead of in the cupboard or whatever it is, it's just saying, pop it away, pop it away, pop it away. And they start to get used to doing the same sort of thing. And because what you're saying is respect my space, they will start to do it. Because if you don't have that there, if you keep cleaning up after them, they will never get the understanding of respecting your space.
Yeah, but it's also then like also teaching them how to respect their space by us respecting ours and us respecting theirs, right? So if we allocate space for them, then giving them a certain amount of autonomy to say, these are the rules you have to abide by in your space. But other than that, it's up to you, and us like letting go, right? Letting it be their space and letting the rules be theirs, right? That's a really difficult thing as well, because they've got to learn what they're comfortable with and what level of stuff is going to be beneficial for them or not. And yes, we've got to like guide them in that, right? But there's also experimentation that's got to happen on their part. And I think it's really interesting and can be playful and can be fun, right?
Yeah, for sure. I remember at one stage with my son, he's in his 30s now, but when he was going through the teenage stuff, and my husband sort of said, I just don't like how he's behaving. And he sort of got really angry and annoyed with him. And I remember saying to him, but okay, when we go out, the kids are really, really good. Whenever we go anywhere, the kids are terrific. Where can they be themselves? If they've got to be like that when we go out, where can they be themselves? Where can they express who they are? Where can they put pictures on the walls?
Yes, without the confines, right? It's not about turning them into who we want them to be.
Yes.
It's about allowing them to find who they want to be and doing it in a safe way, right? As long as they're not hurting anybody, they don't have to abide by our rules, right? Because if kids are punished for not creating their life to look like ours, then they're really never going to learn that they get to take up space, and it's going to take them until they're my age, like in their late 30s, to really allow themselves to truly take up space in the world, because they're going to have to deprogram from all this, like, this is the only way I can live. There's lots of ways to live. And I think when we can release ourselves from that, we can release other people from that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So now we are getting close to time. So I love that. I love that concept that we've all got our own space. Kids as well, they need to be able to express themselves in it. They need to understand the boundaries and respect both their own boundaries and others. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And those boundaries are there for reasons. And they're good boundaries. I love boundaries. Some of them are fun to try and jump over as well, But we're going to have to close it off. Have you got one more tidbit that we can share before we go?
I think, I find myself sometimes taking life really, really seriously. And maybe the best tip is just to have some fun with it and just try things on. Just give it a try, see what happens. And if it doesn't work out, you can always change it, It's not the end of the world. And we can just be curious and have fun with it.
Oh, I love that. That is so cool. It's so true too. Like we put a lot of pressure on ourselves.
I put so much pressure on myself. Yes.
I know. And you sort of sit there and go, oh, naughty girl, you shouldn't have done that. And you go, no, hang on. Better.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we're here for. We're here to learn. Yeah. Thank you so much for being on the show. I really enjoyed that. It's lovely to have a look at. I mean, some people look at interior design and go, oh, it's really fancy. It's only for those big fancy houses. No, it's not. Yeah. It's for everyone. And when we start to look at it in the context of our energy, it's so important to have it right.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you for being on the show. It was really cool.
I love the conversation, Susan. I appreciate it.
Oh, no, my pleasure. I can assure you. Stay on and I'll have a chat in a minute. I'm just going to do the stuff I have to do. So, hey, guys, have a look at Shana's website. It's down in the link below. You'll be able to have a look at it there. But, yeah, start to get a better understanding of the environment you're living in and what you can do to start to improve it, because it's all about the energies that it's in it. And I know, like I said, when I start to feel like the world's getting a bit on top of me, the first thing I do is go and clean, and mainly my office, because that's where all the crap is. But I go in and I clean my office, and I start to go through some of the paperwork, because I don't know about you, but I have little piles of paperwork, and I sort of go, oh, I'll get to that in a minute. That's the first thing I do, is start to go through some of that piles of paperwork, start to do some filing, and it's almost like, you're filing your thoughts, you're filing the energies that you've been holding on to all this time, and you're putting it away and you're sorting it out and you're throwing it out and you're doing what you need to do. So start to do that. If that's the only thing you can do at this particular stage to start with your interior design, start to do it by cleaning up and creating that little space for yourself. Then you can start to go a bit further from that. I just love that. That was really cool. But thank you. That is it for me today. Like, share, whatever you have to do, subscribe to the podcast. It comes out every Thursday morning. In America, it's usually Wednesday afternoon. So we've got a lot of shows there. What was the other thing? Jump onto the Facebook group, Intuitive Personal Development by Susan Jane, and you can get some free flower readings, like from my book there. Okay, that's it. Have a great week, and I will catch you next week. Okay, bye for now.